We want to check in on the Stanford rape case, part of a national conversation, but a sensitive one, maybe not for all ears. There are now more than 800,000 signatures on a petition to recall California Judge Aaron Persky, who, by the way, won his primary this week unopposed. Persky sentenced former Stanford student Brock Turner to just 6 months in county jail instead of the 6 years in prison prosecutors asked for and the 14 years possible under law, after a jury convicted Brock of three felonies, including sexual penetration with a foreign object of an unconscious person. A 23-year-old witnesses found him assaulting behind a dumpster. At sentencing, the judge said Turner had less moral culpability because he was drunk. The father said his life was ruined for 20 minutes of action. The victim's eloquent written courtroom statement has gone viral. Deborah Turkheimer is a professor at the Northwestern University School of Law. Professor, this judge did not make his sentence in a vacuum, right?
That's right. The probation department recommended up to 1 year in jail. And as you say, the prosecutor asked for six.
Well, so someone else was also recommending what's a relatively low sentence in many people's eyes, 1 year. So how does this happen? You know, comparisons are already being made to other cases involving young black men. There was one young black man recently released. He'd been sentenced to, I think, 6 years in jail for a rape he didn't even commit. There's Corey Beatty, the Vanderbilt football star. Same exact situation as Brock Turner. He was seen sexually assaulting an unconscious woman. He claimed it was because he was drunk. He's facing a mandatory 15 to 25 years when he's sentenced. You know, how is it that you have 6 months to a year in Brock Turner's case? Because, you know, people are naturally thinking this is race.
Well, I think there are many reasons for the outrage over this sentence. One, as you point out, is race and the sense that Brock Turner received lenient treatment in part because he's white, because he's a privileged individual. He's an athlete. Corey Beatty is an African-American man, also an athlete. But the sentence differential in those two cases is stark.
Well, the statement has just had incredible reception. Brock Turner, the attacker, said it was a party atmosphere, alcohol, that caused his actions. In her victim statement, the victim said, "Alcohol was not the one who stripped me, fingered me, had my head dragging against the ground." The judge seemed to be sympathetic to the fact that the young man was drunk. How usual is that?
Right. I mean, this idea that when two parties are drinking, there really can't be blame assigned, I think is one that we're still sort of battling. And I see progress. And I think that the reaction to this sentence is one sign of that progress. But it is the case that when women become intoxicated, they're often blamed for their later assault. And when men become intoxicated and rape, many folks feel as if that, you know, that is some kind of an excuse, and that's a real problem.
What portion of rape cases in the U.S. actually go to trial?
A very small portion. I can give you some sense here based on Bureau of Justice statistics collected and analyzed by RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. So out of every 1,000 rapes, 1,994 perpetrators are going to walk free. So 344 of those cases are reported to police. Only 63 lead to an arrest. 13 get referred to prosecutors. 7 result in a felony conviction. And only 6 of those convicted rapists are incarcerated. So we're talking about a very small number of rapists who are held accountable for what they've done.
Well, why is that?
Oh, there are so many reasons. I mean, I think at every stage of the criminal process, there's still you know, a sense of a rape as a stranger in an alley with some sort of a weapon. And of course, that's not the vast majority of sexual assaults that are committed. But we still haven't recalibrated the criminal justice response. We still see biases. We still see credibility being judged in ways that reflect these biases. And so there's a lot of, you know, what we might call case attrition in the criminal process.
Well, the recall campaign was started by Stanford law professor Michelle Dauber. She told USA Today she's 100% confident he will be recalled. Any final thoughts?
You know, the only other point that I would sort of like to make is that in many respects, I think this case is not a failure, and that the focus on the sentence shouldn't obscure the fact that there was some justice for this victim survivor, that she was believed, and that seemed to make a really big difference to her experience of you know, this awful attack.
Well, yeah, the jury absolutely believed every word the witnesses who rescued her said. So you're saying it's so rare that you even get that far that this should be a victory?
Well, I think it is a modified criminal justice success that when we look across the board and we see the very small number of cases that even make it to a jury verdict, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that that the criminal process worked in many ways as we would want it to in this instance.
That's Deborah Turkheimer, professor at the Northwestern University School of Law. Thanks so much.
Thank you.